need every second. How are y'all? Did you have a good week? Wonderful. Okay. So, I'm sorry? I did. Didn't I? Chatter. I can't throw them out. I get in trouble. They're getting it. Who? Okay, so this morning, my goal is to get through every one of these as quickly as I can. Then we can have conversation. We had only 3 weeks, and I don't feel bad about us not getting where I wanted to go, because I think that on the way God showed us some very important things that we need to look at. So a quick recap. Oh, we need to pray. You want to pray? Mr. Jim? Yes, we do.
I'm honored to be in your house and to learn more about your word. Lord, we just ask for your inspiration that we may understand and accept what your word tells us. And Lord, we thank you for all your blessings throughout the day. We thank you for Miss Faye being here to help us understand these teachings. And Lord, we just ask for your favor, and we uplift everyone hurting on the prayer list to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so quickly, let's go to Ephesians 6. We're going to verse 10. We're going to focus on verse 14. No, we're not. We're going to focus on 14 first, and then we'll come back and read it all, unless somebody feels like we need to read it all again. Ephesians 6 and 14 is where we're going to focus, that down from 14 to 18. So quickly, a recap. So we got to understand we're in the, what, new kingdom. We're no longer in the old kingdom. So, and what happens in the new kingdom, we have to learn what we need to do, and how that kingdom operates and how that kingdom works. But most of all, we have to become acquainted with the king in the kingdom, because he's the one that's going to teach us what to do. The three things we have to aware of is the lies that we believe, so the word won't take root. The lies we've been told, and that we believe them as our truth. And so if we don't do that, then when the word of God comes, and if it says something differently, then we, because we don't know, we will keep our lie and we will dispel the truth. And so therefore we can't put it on so we can grow. All of this is about putting it on. Then the most important piece is the renewing of the mind. And I know, y'all, that we read that over and over again. We've heard it so much until it's just like, oh, well, it's just something people say. But that is the key right there to all of this, is the renewing of the mind.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
So if you live with lies all your life, that's where the Holy Spirit begins to really ask the Spirit to help to reveal truth to you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Did y'all hear what he said? You really have to ask God to reveal truth to you in this walk with him and in our Christian walk. We really have to ask God, God, reveal those areas. Because if we have believed that for our truth, y'all, we will hold on to that. Because that's all we have. That's all we have. And so if that's all you have and that's all we know, then that's what we're going to do. Then the third thing is to remember that your battle is spiritual. It is not flesh and blood. So sometimes when somebody is preaching something or teaching something, you might not like what is said. You have to remember, that's just the messenger. I'm just the messenger. I'm not the one that said it. You know, which is, I mean, even with preachers and teachers and or anybody just in conversation. If they're giving you truth, they're just the messenger. They didn't write it. They didn't establish it. God did. Okay, let's go. 14, stand therefore having your loins girt the belt of truth. Let me read, because I got things in the middle. Let me read just like it is, hopefully, in the scriptures. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, sometimes I tend to talk fast. So if I get to go too fast, you just have to say, slow down. All right? So the first one that I'm going to stick up here on this board, I'm going to read some things to you, and then I'm going to put it up here because I want you to see a visual, not just hear words. So the seven pieces of the armor and how we use them, that's what we're going to talk about in every one of these pieces. We have to understand Jesus defeated the enemy when he died on the cross and conquered the grave 3 days after. It is from confidence in his victory that we put on the armor of God and stand firm in the daily battles. Now, do we all agree we need the armor? And when we first started teaching this class, we were saying that we were teaching this class because we are, as believers sometimes, we are failing in some areas, and we think God doesn't love us. We get mad. But it's not that he doesn't love us. We have to just learn what we need to do. That's all. It's not that he don't love us. And it's okay not to know. Just have a heart to learn. We have to have a heart to stay teachable. Always, all the time. We have to have that heart before God to stay teachable. Because God doesn't just teach us on Sunday morning in Sunday school or during the service. He teaches us every single day through whatever moment he chooses to teach us through. And so we have to be open to that. Some people have a mindset that, well, I'm only available on Sunday when it's time for church. With the Spirit of God, you must be available all the time. Because he can wake you up in the middle of the night and drop something in your spirit. And you may want to go on back and go to sleep, but you'll find that you can't until you just do what you need to do. Now, what I started to do, because I thought, Lord, do we have to conversate at 3 a.m.? You know what I'm saying? So what I did was I just got a notebook and put it beside my bed. And so if I wake up and I don't really want to get out of that bed, I reach over and get my book and I start writing. And I can write in the dark. I just write it. So whatever you need to do, do it. And then there's sometimes God will compel you to get up because he wants your full attention. So whatever he wants to do with us, y'all, whatever he wants to teach us, however, let's be, just say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender my all to you. Was you going to say something, Naomi?
Yes, we have to be disciplined. He gives us a free will.
Absolutely. And I think what we have to do, too, is we have to be thankful for everything. But we have to realize, y'all, if God didn't give us this life, we wouldn't have it. You see what I'm saying? So I don't have the right to say, Lord, I ain't got time for you right now. I mean, we have to be, you know what I'm saying? We have to think on that and say, like, okay, I know how I feel. But maybe he's trying to get something to you that he can't get to you in the daytime because you're so busy. But he loves us enough that he wants us to know and he wants us to have it until he'll wake us up out of our sleep. And believe me, if he wakes you up and he keeps you up 2 hours, he'll sustain you through the day. But we be thinking about, oh, Lord, I'm going to be sleepy later on. But he will sustain us through the day. Done it many times.
Hey, he says there's strength in the journey.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So, was somebody going to say something? Mary. I'm sorry. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He said, man, my schedule's so busy today, I've got to spend a couple extra hours in prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said, I'll get in charge and I'll miss out on what you are doing
for me. We will.
What a switch.
Yeah.
What a great switch.
And that's what we're doing this morning, just even in this class. We're just trying to learn, God, that sometimes I'm missing you. How am I missing you? And all the little things y'all are saying. is how we're missing him. And so let's just be mindful of that. So if God wants to come into your life in that way, we are open to it and we don't shut that door. So the belt of truth. A soldier is ready for battle when he is girded with his belt. A Roman soldier's belt was made of metal, thick leather, and carrying place for the sword. It also had a protective piece that hung down in the front. His belt held all the other pieces of his armor together. Think about that. The truth that we stand on, because that's your belt. Be reminded, your belt is truth. His belt held all the other pieces in his armor together to be fitted with his belt, meant that he was ready to face action. So no matter whatever is going on in my life, the basis of that, the foundation of that needs to be God's truth. It needs to be God's truth in what he says. And I don't need to argue with that. And if I have an argument, it's most likely it's our flesh that don't want to do what we need to do. Truth is the belt that holds the believer together, as well as the ultimate truth can be found in God's word and in the person of Jesus Christ. That's where your strength is. That's what we're talking about, his truth, him. We must know that this truth, in order to protect ourselves against our flesh, the world, and the father of lies, truth grounds us and reminds us of our identity in Christ. That's what it's all about. What his word says in our identity in Christ. Because if you're not sure of your identity in Christ, then you won't believe what he says. Even though he sends you the word, you won't believe it. Because you don't understand that you belong to him. And what did I give y'all last week about your identity in Christ? What's the sheets that I gave you to say I am what? Give me one of them. So it don't matter how I feel, y'all. The word of God stands true. Absolutely. But you know what, y'all? And we say that because it's not to hurt anybody's feelings, y'all. But we are so conditioned to want what we want. I remember one time Judge said to me, he said, Faye, he said, can you just do anything you don't want to do? Anything. I'd be like, no, I won't do that. But can you make yourself do what you don't want to do sometimes? And I didn't really hadn't even thought about it until, you know, they would say, and my kids would say the same thing. Mama, you don't want to do nothing you don't want to do. I don't. And y'all don't either. Y'all just don't say it. So, but I have to learn to do what is necessary to do, whether I feel like it or not. How to use the belt of truth. You start each day in the word of God. You end your day with the word of God. And y'all, you know, sometimes people say, well, that's taking too much of my time. It don't take a lot to acknowledge God when you wake up. It don't take a lot. It don't take a lot to acknowledge him when you go into bed. You know, they have said, well, you got to be on your knees. You got to be there. All of that stuff, that's wonderful if you can do that. But if you can't, just thankful. Be thankful to God and acknowledge him that, God, you woke me up this morning. And then, Lord, I know my day has been hard, but you've carried me through it, and I made it through this day. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that now I'm getting ready to lay down, and I'm getting ready to rest my body, and I ask God that you be with me through this night, Lord. And if it's anything you need to tell me, Lord, can you wait to 8 o'clock? But you know that don't work. That don't work. I'm sorry. The other thing is that we memorize the scripture. We memorize the scriptures based on the lies that you struggle with. And what I mean by that is sometimes in our walk with God, we are over here studying about money when we need to be studying about peace. We're over here studying about other things. And it's wonderful to read the word of God every day. But I try to find, if there's nothing going on that's, you know, really, really important in my life, then okay, we go into the scripture. But if something that's going on, I'm trying to find out, okay, Lord, how would you handle this? And so I'm going to go to the scriptures and I'm going to find that subject. And I'm going to say, if I'm having an issue with people getting on my nerves or getting upset, then I'm going to the scripture and say, okay, God, what does your word say about peace? What does your word say about me loving people? What does your word say about, because I know how I feel and I know what do you want to do? Because this person is agitating me for a reason. And it could not be that it's them. It could be something that God is trying to put a highlight on in us to say, let me have that little piece right there. Let me deal with that. Let me grow you up in that area because I want you to show forth my glory. So the belt of truth is a crucial part of the army. And this is good. It symbolizes the importance of truth and integrity in the Christian life. The belt holds, again, other pieces together. But by embracing truth, Christians can stand firm against the lies and deception of Satan, ensuring that their spiritual armor remains secure and effective. And that's what we want to do. We want to learn how to war, how to fight this in this life, the spiritual way, so that God is pleased and we become victorious. Because if we fight on our own, then God is not obligated to come and to rescue us. I know that don't sound good, but it's true. If he tells you don't do something and you over there in left field, do you really think he's coming over there? I'm serious. Do you think he would bless you? Say, for instance, if we came across somebody in Walmart, and that person, you just wasn't feeling it this morning, and that person said something to you, and you turned and you cussed that person out, do you think God is in that cussing with you? Let's be real. Do you think he's in there with you? No, he's not. And so what I have to do is get off of that area, get in the area where God wants me to be, and then he comes and he gives me his strength. He does not bless our mess. He does not bless our mess. Okay, so I'm going to hang this here because I want y'all to see them all. The boy about taller than me. Okay, our next one. The breastplate of righteousness. What happened? Yes. Absolutely. Yes, he will. He comes and corrects us. Yes, he does. I agree with that 100%.
You don't have to come. What I mean is, he's already there.
Yes, but what I'm saying is that sometimes we think we can do what we want to do, and because we want to do what we want to do, which is flesh, because right here it talks about, one of them talks about, right here, we must know the truth in order to protect ourselves against our flesh, the world, and the father of lies. And if I'm in Walmart cussing somebody, that's definitely my flesh. And so he's going to come. Yes, he will, Mr. Jim. I agree with you. He's going to come, and he's going to correct Faye. And he's going to prompt me. I have to choose in that moment to listen to him or to keep cussing. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we just have to be careful that we say, Lord, help us follow you. Help us follow you so that we can peel off all that other stuff. Does that make sense? The breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier was also always equipped with the breastplate of righteousness. This piece protected his vital organs and his heart in the heat of the battle. The breastplate, it was for quick and unexpected advances of the enemy. So how many times, y'all, do we get up on a day and we don't know what is coming, but then something poops like it jumps out in front of us? So having on the breastplate of righteousness, that means knowing your right standing in Christ, that helps us to choose to do what is right. His righteousness never fails. Now, if we get in the heat of a battle and something happens and it goes the wrong way or maybe didn't win, whatever, we have to take, I tell a lot of times people, you have to own your stuff and don't make your stuff God's stuff. So in any situation we're in, y'all, God will bring correction because he loves us. He will give us enlightenment because he loves us. The bottom line is, will I accept that correction? Will I accept that enlightenment? Because it is for my good. We were talking about this yesterday of how we feel one way, another person feels another way, but what really settles that? What settles it? If we're believers, what settles the situation? And so after we've settled it, there's no longer need for us to keep talking about it. It is settled. Then we must either choose to do or choose to do what we want. And that's the bottom line. And it is for, listen, when God comes and corrects us, it is for our good. You know, years ago, when I was like, Lord, you know, like, and that when it comes down to sin or whatever, I'm like, you know, I don't know. But then he was like, Faye, if I ask you not to do something, it is for your good. I am protecting you. But we don't see him protecting us. When he says, no, you cannot have that right now. We don't see that, but that's our protection. Because if I went on in my own flesh, y'all, I would make a mess that who would have to suffer for it? I would. But what would I do most of the time? Well, Lord, yes, especially God. You said it, Barry, especially God. A woman came to me one time years ago, and she said, she was talking to me about her daughter had a condition with her cerebellum, and she stopped. Her body kept growing, but it was throwing her off balance because it was making her extremely tall. And so she started to talk, and I said, honey, I said, are you angry at God? She said, well, I didn't want to put it quite that way. I said, but are you? Well, yes, I am. I said, well, have you talked to him about it? Well, no, I can't go to God and tell him. I said, well, he already knows. So you might as well go to God and say, Lord, this is how I feel, and allow him to send somebody to help you to understand it. So you will know that God loves you, but because your daughter is not healed doesn't mean he is still not God. And so, y'all, these things that we face, we have to walk through them and share them with somebody, especially if you stay there too long, because we might be just thinking wrong in that area. Not on purpose, but we might just be thinking wrong. And that error needs to be corrected, because we have to understand, y'all, that even though we're talking about the armor, we grow in God little by little.
And in community.
Yes.
I might just be so off track and so angry at God, and somebody just got to tell me that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's okay. It was okay for her to feel that way. But I think in her even saying, let's have this conversation, was an opportunity for me to share with her that your thinking is wrong in this. Why don't you go and then go back to God? Because if you're angry at God, you won't go to him. You won't go to him. And so all these little things, we think it's big things, but the scripture said it's the little foxes that spoil your vine and make your fruit bad. The little foxes, those little things that we steam over, those little things that we angry about. And then I'm going to say this. Don't know. Hope you don't get offended. But some stuff we get upset over. It ain't your business and it ain't your lane. Just stay in your lane. You know what I'm saying? Because we're worrying about it. We're worrying about it. We're grumbling about it. We're fussing about it. But that ain't your business. So leave that alone. You know, I'm serious. I am so serious. You are wasting time at night that you could be spending with your husband or your children fussing about something that didn't go your way when that ain't your business. Let them handle that. Pray for them. Say, you know what? I'm going to leave this alone. I'm going to leave this alone. But we have to understand that ain't yours. I have to save my energy for me and what I need. Remember we talked about last week, if there is nothing to be won in a battle, don't fight. Because you're giving your energy away. And then when you need it for a real battle, then you're exhausted. And I don't know why, I keep saying this, I don't know why we blame the church, we blame God, we blame the leadership for everything. That's what we do. And I think somehow we kind of been taught about that, taught to do that in a way. Come on. You know, they're human beings like we are. And they're preaching and teaching the word to us. You have to choose to do it or don't do it. I don't know who that's for, but okay, Lord. Was you going to say something, Jeff? That's not
denial.
Tears, that's sweat.
If you're looking at a cross of God, don't even notice I am lying. And if you watch these A&E interventions of people struggling with addiction, they get everybody in that, their sphere of influence, that love, their employers, loved ones, family members. And when that person's sitting there saying the sky is green, and everybody who loves you says, no, sky is blue. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, get angry and get mad, and then, you know, nobody wants to be around you. And then you find yourself struggling with addiction, and you're isolated. And that's how people go out, and then they're suicidal, and all this other stuff comes in. Because you need that accountability. Thinking back on Mary.
Yes.
She said, when you come in community, then people can be around you who love you, and they're going to say, your breath stinks.
Yeah.
You know?
All righty. That's, see, y'all thought I was hard, see?
But that takes the Holy Spirit already at work.
Yes.
Humility to say, all right, you're right, and I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to actually grow.
Yeah, and sometimes what we're addicted to is us. We just want what we want. Yes.
When you're convicted.
Yes.
It takes a long time. You're not very mature.
Yes.
But when you're quick to repent and change, and you say, Lord, what did I do? I just cussed this person out.
Yeah.
And I need to get cleansed.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes. And don't do it no more.
Time, you're all wound up in blaming
yes.
people and simple denial and just, I don't have a problem, then you got issues.
Yeah. Do you know how to practice not letting your flesh do what it wants to do. When a situation happens, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? I want to react. My flesh wants to react. But I believe that in moments that the Spirit of God will well up in you and it'll speak to you. In that moment, you have a choice. You act out of your flesh, or you act the way you should act. That's the choice. Yeah. I don't know if I say that much to my brain to just, most of the time, I know people say that ain't God talking to you, but most of the time with me, it's just like, Faye, be quiet. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. You know, and when people do stuff, just look, walk away. Don't say nothing. You don't. If what's going to come out your mouth is not productive, then don't say nothing. Don't do anything. Now, I feel like I got a right to retaliate. But when I feel like I have a right, what is that? That's my flesh. And see right here, again, when it said right here, that we must know the truth in order to protect ourselves from our flesh, the world, and the father of lies. We think about Satan coming against us. We think about the things that's happening in the world, but sometimes we don't think about our behavior. Because that's okay, because it's mine, and it's all right, and you ought to take it. No, you shouldn't. I need to correct it. I need to ask God to help my behavior become Christ-like. Because in everything that I do, then I should show forth him. And I'm not saying, y'all, that we get it right all the time. I am saying let's pursue to do what is right. That's all I'm saying. The same thing I'm teaching you to do, believe me, it comes to me first. It comes to me first. And I tell my children this. When stuff happens and things going wrong. Two of them got into it one time in my kitchen. And I was like, y'all know that don't happen here. And I know y'all don't want me to tell John. So y'all need to fix that. Y'all too need to fix that. And if you can't come, if y'all angry and you can't come and be here in peace, then don't come until you can fix that, because you adults. I tell my children, when they're going through things, they'll say, Mama, what you think? I said, honey, ask yourself the questions, but tell yourself the truth about it. Don't pretend something is there that's not there. Tell yourself the truth, and then nobody else won't have to tell you that. And then you won't be mad at other people. That's why we have to read the Word of God every day, and we have to humble ourselves under that Word, because it's that Word that we live by. It's that Word that we walk by. And again, I'm going to say, we have to come to God for real, for real. We got to stop, you know, everything is okay. No, it's not. Let's tighten the belt. The one thing when we were talking about the belt yesterday was, if your belt sometimes gets loose, where people feel like, you know, they just, I don't know, I just don't want to do this no more. I don't want to walk with God. I don't want to see the church people. I don't want to do nothing. Then maybe your belt done got a little bit loose. And so you need to go back to truth, because truth is what would tighten your belt back up.
From the Bible, you did a survey, you'll find out there is a lot of different mindsets.
That's true.
And because of that, it causes division.
Well, this is, you know what, any of y'all in here could take. For me, our basis for coming to church is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The basis of us being here is, reach me one of the Bibles. One of these, a Bible. You said you believe what the Word said. You said that you committed yourself to Jesus Christ. Then if that's what you want to do, then every one of us has to come under the authority of what His Word says. And so we do that through understanding. We do that through teaching. We do that through preaching. We do that through conversation, if necessary. But if the Word of God, go find it. That's why we read the Word to you, so that you're not taking our word. Go find what the Scripture says. And then if you still don't understand, sit down, like Mary talked about community. Sit down with someone that is mature and say, you know what? Faith said something in Sunday school, and I don't know if I believe that or not. Have a conversation. Because when I have a conversation, what you do is you take out my cobwebs, but you tell me what the Word says, so that settles the matter. And so then if you don't really understand, then the next step we do is we have to pray for you. And what I try to do is give people at least three scriptures that is saying the same thing, because that should settle it. Now that's what I do. Anybody else got a suggestion? Lee, I'm sorry. Didn't come to you, Mr. Jim.
Well, first of all, in separation like that implies that there's a judgment. That something is right and something is wrong. Well, we know that the Word of God is truth and the Word of God is right. And that's why He says don't judge. He also said a man stands and falls before his own master, which means that God speaks to each of us.
Anybody else? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jim. I'm sorry. You want him to go? You, Mr. Jim.
Military, Navy guy, he'd say was a trustee in the Navy.
Uh-huh. Changed to work. And when he passed on, that list was probably that big.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the way he satisfied his flesh. He said,
yeah.
Just gonna put it on here that if the day comes.
Yeah. I agree. Oh, Mary, I'm sorry.
Well, just a quick example from farm life about the dangers of isolation. There was several years ago, and I have never forgotten this, when my children were teenagers. Anyway, we had a calf that had a calf, and the mama died. So the calf was just kind of wandering around amongst the herd, and my husband kept saying, I need to get that calf and put him up. Because he kept staying by himself. He wouldn't go with the herd. He'd always isolate himself. Well, we always had dogs that guarded the herd. Well, anyway, one morning we woke up to this big commotion, and the dogs that were supposed to guard the herd had attacked that little calf. Needless to say, we prayed and we doctored it and did all we could, but its lungs was punctured and he just died. And I asked the Lord, why? Because we prayed and we believed. And the Lord, this is what he spoke to my heart. Because I am a person, I enjoy my own company, I don't need a lot of people around me. I'm what Terry Wilson calls an extroverted introvert. So I have a tendency to isolate myself, mm-hmm. just because that's what I enjoy. But the Lord spoke to me through that and said, I allowed this to happen to teach you something, that isolation is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You need a herd.
Mm-hmm.
You need a herd, because if you isolate yourself and you keep yourself away, the thing that is supposed to protect you will kill you.
Yeah.
It'll devour you. So, yeah, and the calf's name was Norman. So, whenever I have that tendency to start withdrawing,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little bit more than I need to be doing.
A little bit more than I need
you
to be.
You always whisper in my ear, remember Norman.
Yeah.
And it brings me back to the place where I'm able to be. And I have a tribe. I call on my tribe, and then we're together, and we're praying for one another and all that. But anyway, just to say, anybody that needs it, remember Norman.
Yeah.
Don't forget Norman.
Yeah. And then, too, Miss Vicki, I'm going to go back to what you were saying again. You know, if people that are in Father's Vineyard, if you have an issue, or if it's something that you don't understand and that piece is very important to you at that time, then go back to, like Mary talked about, community. You need to know that anything that you need to know that doesn't come across the pulpit, that doesn't come across a group you might attend, that you are free to ask that. What would be good was that if you were in the community, find somebody you can trust, find somebody that is knowledgeable and say, listen, I have a question. Can you answer this? If you can't answer it, no, honey, I don't know, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to find somebody that can give you that answer. But you have to understand you're still going to grow little by little. Just because a message, and I think every church is that way, Miss Vicki. I think everybody that's in churches, everybody don't necessarily believe the same thing. But when we're coming together on Sunday, I believe if you will stay connected to the body long enough to build a friendship, to build a group, to understand that, first of all, the leadership is teaching truth to you and that you can trust them, that you can trust that word, then it will help us. But if that problem is big enough to where, I'm going to leave, then that's time for you to sit down and talk to somebody. If that's what I just don't believe that way, then sit down. If that's that important with you, find somebody, sit down, and have a conversation. Was somebody going to say something, Mary?
I would just say this. I spent 6 years in seminary with some of the smartest people that I ever met. They devoted their lives to learning those ancient languages and studying the scripture. Those guys are rare, but they are one of Mm-hmm. And you can go online. There are thick books of theology, academics. Do you think you're the first person that ever had that question?
No.
And there's a lot of brilliant people that
Yes. Absolutely. And we have to be teachable. The thing in that is we all must remain teachable. Teachable. And you can't be particular about who your teacher is, because you may say, well, that truth only got to come from Brother John. That's not true. You ask for truth. Now, whoever he used to give it to you, then it's up to you to take it or leave it. Was you going to say something, Mary? Okay, quickly. We have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes for the gospel of peace. The one thing I want to say about the shoes is all of these pieces were given to give them an armor for protection. The shoes, point about the shoes is the sandal was spiked so that it would keep him secure, so that when he was in battle, he wasn't swaying back and forth. And that's what we don't want to do. We want our armor so that we're not swaying. Then we have the shield of faith. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shield, as you can see, was a big metal, steel, or whatever they made it, that protected the fiery darts. And at first, when I was reading about the fiery darts, and it said that he could take his shield and put it in the water, and it would stop or quench the fiery darts. And I'm like, huh? But then after I thought about it, the water on there put the fire out that was on the arrow that they shot. Because, you know, when we think about darts, we used to think about throwing something. But theirs had fire on the end of their arrows that they were shooting or whatever. It always had fire connected to it. Then we have the helmet of salvation. And in that piece, you have to go back to Romans 1 and 2 when it said to renew your mind. If you don't renew your mind to the new kingdom, you got to have that for your armor. Your mind has to be renewed in every area, because your mind takes your body where it needs to be. Your mind takes your actions and your reactions where they need to go. So the mind must be renewed. You cannot get around that. It has to happen. Then you have the sword of the Spirit. Then another one was prayer. That's in the 18th verse, I believe it is. Prayer. Yesterday when we were talking about this, my son brought up, when I was looking over all of this stuff, I never really looked at all of this other stuff was what they were putting on. But it was only one weapon. That's the only weapon that we have. It's a sword, which represents the word of God. And I didn't really see that till yesterday, and he was talking about it. Even though I had done studied and looked at it and looked at it, I thought, wow. All these other stuff is to equip us, to put us on. And then after we've had the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, after with our shoes, and go back, y'all, and read these for yourself. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Then this is what we should look like. In the Spirit, this is what we should look like. Because we're ready for battle, but we got what we need on. And so because we got what we need on, then we're able to face life better. We're able to be victorious, and that's what we want, because we want to know that God is with us today in our life, and he is performing for us. He does it. We don't do it. All these things that come against my mind, I put this on because he has to do the work through the Spirit. He has to do the work through the prayer. He has to do the work through our willingness to trust him. And if we don't do that, you can't get mad at Sue and Jane because Sue and Jane is standing and you're not. You can't get mad at them. You got to go over there and say, honey, what are you doing that you're getting through this and I'm not? And allow them to share that, and you receive that so that you fight as a team. And then listen, if you have an issue, tell somebody, listen, I'm going through a hard time and I need somebody praying for me. I need somebody praying for me. I need you to do this on Monday or Tuesday or whenever, but I need you. You need me so that we can make it through this. You know, you don't run by your partner in battle. In the military, they teach them if your partner go down, you get your partner, and you bring him with you, dead or alive, you bring him with you. And if you can't, then you take one of those dog tags off of his neck and you put it around yours to get back where you need to be so they know that he went down in the battle. But, y'all, another thing we have to start genuinely loving each other and stop picking. You know, stop picking and prodding. You don't have to compete against me, and I'm sure God not going to compete against you because I don't have the time, I don't have the mental capacity to do it. And I might feel like that because I've lived just a little bit. I'm not as old as some of these people in here. But I say, Lord, I want to learn. I don't want to keep going in this in a hole. I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over. That's what Faye wants. God, help me to become your disciple. Help me to become your follower. Teach me how to follow you. Teach me how to love people. Because if I learn how to love people, then I really do believe we'll know what to do and how to do. So with this lesson, I didn't get all the way through. It's talking, but you can, it's okay. You can go read it. You can study it. You can look at it and allow God to speak to you. But we need the armor of God. That's what the whole thing about this class. We need the armor of God in our lives. And if you get in an area, do you feel like God is not showing up? Go get your word. Put your armor on. That's your sword. That's what you got to sharpen so that you can fight with it. And remember, we don't fight what? We do not fight each other. You are my sister. You are my brother. We do not fight against each other. Our battle is with the enemy. And really, it's not a battle. It's just that when he comes toward us, he tries to sway us not to believe God, not to walk with God. And what you going to do to him? You going to speak the word to him. You got to go. You can't stay here. You got to go. You come down out of my mind. You come down out of my senses in Jesus' name. And then we're going to believe God to do that, and we're going to walk on. Somebody else got something to say? Wow. Think about that. Think about that. And then finally, Ephesians 6 and 10. What does it say? Ephesians 6 and 10. Let's read it together. Y'all got it? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Father, I just ask you, God, I thank you for this class. I thank you for everybody that came, Father. I thank you for every comment. I thank you, God, for just a heart to learn. Just a heart to learn, Father, and to put you on. And God, I just ask you, Lord, that you will bless each and every one of us. God, even when we leave here, Father, still deal with our spirits about putting our armor on and walking with you and loving you. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And God, help us to be strong in you and in the power of your might. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you.